Morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church, God's host, the host he's provided for us to come and to worship and praise him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. You know, the past couple of Sundays we've talked about different aspects of sin and the devil. We talked about temptation, and then last Sunday we talked about the don't believe the hype. And today we're going to talk about why does Satan attend church. And our text this morning is Mark, the first chapter, verses 21 through 28. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible or one from the pew rack in front of you as I read Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Every time that Jesus met someone possessed by an evil spirit or by demons, he drove the demons from such person. However, this case that we've just read about in our text is unusual. It's unusual because it occurred in the synagogue, in God's house. And it's also unusual because it occurred on the Sabbath. Why would a man possessed by an evil spirit be attending the house of God? Indeed, why would Satan desire to attend church? There are several reasons that Satan enjoys attending church, and we're going to talk about them. The first reason is Satan has always been religious. Now, we kind of snicker at that and say, "Oh, yeah, that's right." Well, you recall he was booted out of heaven, a fallen angel out of heaven. And as a matter of fact, he and his demons are somewhat orthodox in their beliefs. A.W. Tozer, who was a popular 20th century evangelical pastor and author and magazine editor, said that the devil is a better theologian than any of us, and is a devil still. Of course, it's not what you believe which determines whether you worship God. It's how you use or act upon the knowledge that you have. James tells us, but someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." Satan is monotheistic. He believes there is only one God. He knows that there is only one God. The problem is Satan does not worship God. When he attends church, it's not for true worship. Rather, his participation in church is false worship. His religion is not Christianity. It is a false religion. He does not mind if we attend church for worship, just as long as it's false worship. Satan loves for us to attend church and gossip about the other worshipers there. He wants us to attend church to lift up our own righteousness and praise ourselves. He is delighted when we become preoccupied at church with thoughts other than worship of God. Thoughts like who hurt our feelings recently? Who thinks that we are not such great people? What does so-and-so say about us? It's music to Satan's ears to hear our critical comments about the church leaders and about the pastor's preaching. Satan wishes for us not to put our hearts into praising God. He likes to watch us just going through the motions, as so many of us do. He can stand anything but our worship of God in spirit and in truth. He is opposed to Christianity, but he is not opposed to our pretending to be Christians. He revels in that. He delights in that fact that we put up this facade. We come to church. We come to Bible study. We come to Sunday school and pretend that we are children of God. He loves that. As I read in James, demons and evils, spirits know Jesus. They believe he exists and they are afraid of him. James said they know about him and they shudder. And in our text, the demon possessing the man in the synagogue knew Jesus. This evil spirit knew and believed in the incarnation of Jesus. In other words, this evil spirit knew that Jesus was both God and man. You recall, the spirit clearly identified Jesus' humanity by calling him Jesus of Nazareth. And likewise, he recognized him as a deity by calling him the Holy One of God. The church must surely be on guard against false teaching and doctrine. However, there is a danger of which we are less aware, and that is false worship. We must always guard against dead religion. We must never become so complacent and neglectful and nonchalant about our worship of God. We consistently need to reevaluate why we worship and how we worship. Concerning dead worship by dead churches and dead believers, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, and conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, having nothing to do with them." Do these behaviors and attitudes reflect those of society today? Absolutely they do. We could take them one by one and give numerous examples of people, friends of ours, celebrities, sports heroes, who have these traits and who exhibit them for the world to see. However, we must resist Satan's attempts to convince us to allow ourselves to conduct our life upon these standards. The second reason Satan desires to attend church is Satan is searching for prey. In our text, the evil spirit identified with the man through whom he was speaking. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? This was not a case of multiple demons possessing this man. Here, this one demon was using his host as a puppet. Us included the demon and the man in which he dwelled. Satan's ultimate goal is control. He can possess those who do not have the Holy Spirit within them. He cannot possess true Christian followers. However, he does wish to manipulate us. He wants to hinder us from doing God's work. He wants to get us to question our faith. He wants to get us to be lazy. He wants us to get us to say, that applies to everybody else but me. That command in the Bible, that teaching in the Bible, that part of the Holy Word, that's for somebody else. And a lot of you are going to hit the delete button on what I say here today as soon as you turn the car key on after worship. Earl doesn't know what I'm going through. Earl doesn't know what I'm experiencing. So what he said didn't apply to me. Satan said, Jesus said to Simon Peter, as recorded by Luke, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." Satan had asked God's permission to tempt Peter in order to separate the wheat from the chaff. In other words, in order to prove whether he was as faithful, whether he was as righteous as he seemed to be. He wanted to draw Peter into sin. And God denied this request. You know, Peter always believed that he would be able to endure all the trials with Jesus without cracking, and though his faith did not fail completely, we know he miserably failed a major test. He disavowed all knowledge of Jesus when Jesus was being falsely accused and beaten. He was given another chance and learned from his mistake, and we need to learn from Peter's mistake also. Satan is out to sift us. Satan is out to tempt us. He wants to prove that our faith is not as strong as we would like to think it is. It's not as strong as we pretend it to be. Peter was aware of this fact, and it prompted him to write in one of his letters, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." If you don't think the devil is in the church today prowling around looking for someone to devour, to tempt, to get someone to talk about others in the church, to get someone to criticize the leaders of the church, to get someone who is not truly worshiping and praising God, then you haven't been going to church very long. He comes here and he looks for prey. And he tries to convince us that God's word is applicable to everybody else but not us. That we have special circumstances, we have special challenges that exempt us from the teachings of the Lord. The third reason Satan desires to attend church is Satan is seeking worship of himself. Satan wants to be worshiped like God. This is one of the factors that had him booted out of heaven. And if you read in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, he's talking or he's prophesying about Babylon, against Babylon, and he compares the king of Babylon to Satan, and he says, "How have you fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn? You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly on the utmost heights of the sacred mountains. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." This is what Satan wants. You recall that he asked Jesus, or he told Jesus, I will give all this to you if you will but bow down and worship me. And Satan worship, John tells us, will characterize the great tribulation. Satan will raise the beast of the sea, and he is going to kill everybody who does not worship the beast of the sea. He will for a short time realize the goal that he's had ever since he was booted out of heaven, and that is to be worshiped by us here on this earth. But the judgment day will arrive, and the true follower of Christ is involved in a great struggle until that time. Our great struggle is not with paying our bills, not with our health, not with terrorism around the world, not with our teenage children, not with our vote come November. Our struggle is a spiritual one. And Paul instructs us, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We must focus on the spiritual war which Satan is waging in order to hinder our work for God. And we must not be so naive as to neglect the fact that we are at war with Satan, even in church. You know, as I was working on this, I thought about the old cowboy movies and, well, even some of the modern day movies where the bad guy or the person falsely accused would run into church and that would be his or her sanctuary. You know, the marshal wouldn't enter the church. The detectives or the police wouldn't go into church and violate the sanctity of the church. The devil doesn't care. He comes in here and whispers in our ear, distracts us from true worship of God. He loves it when we come to church and engage in false worship. He loves it when we don't praise God. He loves it when we don't worship Him in truth and spirit. So don't ever think that coming through those doors makes us immune from the reaches of Satan. If you are a believer, you need to be aware of Satan's desire to sift you like wheat, to tempt you, to try to show that you are not the person of faith and righteousness that you claim to be. But you must realize that you have Jesus as an ally. And with His help in this war against Satan, you will win. Just call upon Him. Reaffirm your faith in Him. Talk to Him. Get His word and read. Look in your concordance under Satan. Check all the references and how God and Jesus have been battling Satan. If you are not a believer, you should know that Satan is on the prowl for you. And the wages of sin is death. What does this mean? You know, we talk about death and life. Truly, when you leave this earth, you're dead as far as we are concerned, as far as humans look at you. But you will have an eternal life. You will have an eternal life. It'll either be spent in pain and agony and suffering in hell, or you will have an eternal life in heaven with God and Jesus. So the choice is yours. Remember, Satan comes to church looking for prey, looking for people to worship him. Just don't fall into his traps. And those who aren't believers, we invite you to come this morning and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior so that you can have him as an ally. He can be your wingman to protect you and give you strength when you stumble and fall. We invite you to do that as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 502, Open My Eyes.